Good morning, and you're all very welcome, and especially welcome on this first Sunday of November. The year is flying by, so here we are. We are continuing in our study of Jeremiah. We'll be in Jeremiah chapter 12 today. Now, have you ever complained to God when things are not going the way you want them to go? I mean, complaining is something we all do. Anybody gets in the car and starts driving, trying to get across town, you're going to complain. So we can all pretty much admit to that. When you have plans, yet something happens that messes up those plans, we complain. Or maybe someone wins a local lotto and you've been playing for years and never won. Or maybe someone gets cancer and you can't imagine why it happened to them. Is it okay to complain to God when these things happen? Yes, it is okay to complain. And there are many times in the Bible when God's people bring their complaints to Him. He wants that. Much of this book, Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, and many Psalms describe complaints to God. David described, who was described as a man after God's own heart, brought complaints to the Lord many times. Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2 is a sample. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now David knew that God loved him, that he was there for him, but sometimes there are times in life when God seems distant. Well, Jeremiah, in the previous chapter that we talked about last week, and we didn't talk about this section, but in the previous chapter, at the end of the chapter 11, he learned of a conspiracy against him. And we don't know exactly what that was, but at the end of chapter 11, Jeremiah started complaining, and that leads into today's chapter 12. Now, in chapter 11, verses 18 to 20, I'm not going to read them, I'm just going to summarize. Jeremiah stated that the Lord made the conspiracy known to him, and he showed him all that his enemies were planning. And he admits, I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And he cried out to God to deliver him. And then in the next few verses, God basically said, don't worry, Jeremiah, I know what they have planned, and I will deal with them just as I promised. Now remember what God promised? In chapter 1, verses 6 and 19, God told him, don't be afraid of them, I will deliver you. They will fight against you, but not prevail. Why? Because I will deliver you. God was saying, don't worry, Jeremiah, I got you. I got your back. I'm taking care of you. Now, what was Jeremiah's problem? Well, he had lost focus of his ministry. He became distracted from his calling. He began focusing on himself and his situation, and not on the people that God wanted him to focus on. So is it okay to complain? Certainly. And that is when you need to trust in the Lord even more. You may say that your faith is weak and wavering. That's when, as you complain, you also ask God to comfort you and strengthen you. Jesus wants our burdens. Give him your cares and burdens, your doubts and fears, and let him carry those for you. As we look at Jeremiah's honest complaint in chapter 12, we will also see God's honest reply. And then God will give a personal reply to Jeremiah. And then he will give a lament concerning Israel and how he has to deal with Israel and why. And then he also gives a hope for the future. So let me read Jeremiah chapter 12, and we'll be reading the whole chapter. It's just 17 verses. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them, and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But you, O Lord, you know me. You see me and test my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn, and the grass of every field wither? For the evil of those who dwell in it, the beasts and the birds are swept away, because they said, he will not see our later end. The Lord answers Jeremiah, if you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers in the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They are in full cry after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you. I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my heritage. I have given the beloved of my soul into the hands of her enemies. My heritage has become to me like a lion in the forest. She has lifted up her voice against him, therefore I hate her. Is my heritage to me like a hyena's lair? Are the birds of prey against her all around? Go, assemble all the wild beasts, bring them to devour. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trampled down my portion. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it a desolation. Desolate, it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate, but no man lays it to heart. Upon all the bare heights in the desert, destroyers have come, for the sword of the Lord devours from one end of the land to the other. No flesh has peace. They have sown wheat and have reaped thorns. They have tired themselves out, but profit nothing. They shall be ashamed of their harvests because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord concerning all my evil neighbors who touch the heritage that I have given my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them up from their land, and I will pluck up the house of Judah from among them. And after I have plucked them up, I will again have compassion on them. And I will bring them again, each to his heritage and each to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name as the Lord lives, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be built up in the midst of my people. But if any nation will not listen, then I will utterly pluck it up and destroy it, declares the Lord. Well, let's take a moment to review Jeremiah's ministry. He was called to be a prophet of the Lord to Israel, preaching all the words that God gave him. Israel will not listen to him. Israel will not turn back to God. Israel will get tired of hearing Jeremiah preach and conspire to hurt him. God gave Jeremiah the character and resolve to withstand their verbal and physical abuse. Plus, God gave Jeremiah the promise that he would protect him and deliver him. And this is going to happen for about 40 years. And during that time, Israel will be taken captive and taken into exile by King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And Jeremiah knew that this would be his ministry for a very long time. Yet, after only a few months, or maybe this has only been in the first year or so, Jeremiah is complaining. Now, it's one thing being told that the job is going to be difficult. This is what you're going to have to deal with for the next 40 years. But it's quite a different thing to actually live and experience that difficulty. Well, Jeremiah decided to complain about his situation. Yes, he started with, you are righteous, O Lord. Yet, I'm still going to complain. And I'm going to try to prove to you that I'm right. How many are guilty of telling God that? Telling God, I'm complaining, and I have a right to complain, and I'm right, and you will agree with me. Well, we take up our a righteous cause, our own righteous cause, our own righteous vendetta, and we think that God can only agree with us. Well, Jeremiah's complaint is the age-old complaint that is still asked today. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do the treacherous or evil thrive? When the psalmist mentioned in Psalm 73 and Psalm 94, the same thing, and I'll read Psalm 94. O Lord, God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, repay to the proud what they deserve. O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words, all the evildoers boast. They crush their people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. And they say, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. The wicked prosper and thrive and seemingly get by with anything and everything, and God doesn't notice. That was the psalmist's complaint. And it's also Jeremiah's complaint. And this is the complaint of a lot of people today. Jeremiah was so bold to blame God for their prosperity. And he said, you planted them, and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. They were successful and thrived because you, God, allowed them to do so. Now, the problem that Jeremiah had was that he had too much of himself in the situation. He had the it's all about me syndrome. They are prospering and I am not. I listen to you. I follow you. You have tested my heart and you know me. Your name is on their lips, but not in their hearts. I should be prospering and not them. You take them out like sheep for the slaughter, not me. See, that was the scenario going through Jeremiah's mind. And if we are honest with ourselves, we have used the same complaint with God. It's easy for us to acknowledge the righteousness of God and his sovereignty, but harder to accept it when life seems too hard for us, while the wicked seem to have it easy. Well, in the rest of the chapter, God gives a three-part reply. He replies personally to Jeremiah. He responds to Jeremiah's complaint. And then God laments why he must punish Israel, and he ends with a glimmer of hope in the future. So first, let's look at God's honest reply. Now, there is the old proverb, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. And that's basically what God tells Jeremiah. If you get tired racing against men, how are you going to race against the horses? If you can't take the stress of ministry now, how will you cope with ministry in the next 5, 10, 15 years? Stop complaining and stay focused on me and on your calling. I have called you for the long haul, not just a year or two. I mean, a modern equivalent, a local equivalent, is if you're getting tired of walking around for a couple of hours on the flat trails of Muckross, how are you going to be able to climb up the mountains? God also reminded him that not only the people of Israel will be complaining about his preaching, but his own family, your brothers in the house of your father, will conspire against you and complain about you. Don't believe them, even when they seem to act friendly to you. See, God's talking to Jeremiah just as he talked to Job. When Job was complaining, Job was saying, and God said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man, I will question you and you make it known to me. See, it was God telling Job, who are you to question me when you don't have the answers? And it was God telling Jeremiah, who are you to complain when you don't have the big picture? I said I would deliver you and protect you. Just trust in that promise. And Paul wrote in Romans 9:20, as if God was speaking to us, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God. Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? God has created each of us uniquely. Why are we questioning God? God does not make mistakes. God was calling for Jeremiah to get himself together and prepare for the long haul. He was going to need endurance to get through his ministry. God gave him the character traits to do so. So quit complaining, Jeremiah. You need to be ready. You know, the last great Antarctic adventure that Shackleton and Tom Crean endured, saw their original plan to traverse across Antarctica ended before it even started. Because of their ship, the Endurance, got stuck in the ice floe and was crushed. So that left 26 men in 3 lifeboats to travel several hundred miles to Elephant Island. They built a shelter with 2 of the boats and left 22 men behind, as 4 of them took that remaining boat 720 miles across open ocean, landing on the wrong side of South Georgia Island. And they left 1 man with the boat, and the remaining 3 men, Shackleton, Crean, and Woolsey, they cross over the mountains and a glacier of that mountain to get to the whaling station on the other side. Short version of the story is all 26 men were saved due to the perseverance and endurance of every man. They signed up for a grueling adventure that ended up being a race for survival. And that was a 2-year adventure. Jeremiah had 40 years to endure. God told him to pluck up your courage and trust in me, and I'll see you through it. And then God laments. Have you ever sat and thought about who you are to God? It's easy to think about who God is to us. He is everything. I mean, the psalmist, you read through the Psalms and you can write out all these adjectives of who God is to us: my rock, my fortress, my redeemer, my shelter, my refuge, my savior, and so on and so on and so on. We can make a list all day long and still not have enough words. Yet, who are we to God? Well, God is lamenting. He's grieving over what he must do to get Israel's attention. First, what did he say he had to do? He said, I have forsaken. I have abandoned. I have given them over. See, God was not happy that he had to do these things. He did not regret, but he was not pleased to do so. Because of his holiness, he had to do so. Yet how did God describe Israel? He called them my house. He called them my heritage 3 different times. He called them the beloved of my soul. They are my vineyard, my portion, my pleasant portion. God takes ownership of his people. He told them many times, I am your God and you are my people. God is lamenting the fact that his people have turned away from him. And they're acting like roaring lions, like howling hyenas, and like birds of prey. They've turned against him as wild beasts turn on their prey. So you might as well just bring in all the wild beasts. God described in vivid detail how Israel treated him and how they turned from him. Not only that, but the religious leaders led the people astray and did not try to turn them back to God. Look at verses 10 and 11 again. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. They have trampled down my portion. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it a desolation, desolate. It mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate, but no man lays it to heart. That phrase should cut us all to the heart. The land mourns to God. Why? God's people had turned against him. It's as if the land's saying, why? How long, O Lord? The religious leaders that he had put in leadership had led his people astray. They had made his people, his vineyard, desolate. And their lives were fruitless, and as God said in verse 13, they shall be ashamed. Now, if Jeremiah was complaining about people conspiring against him, God was letting Jeremiah know that he had more reasons to complain. And God knew pain greater than Jeremiah, because God's ultimate pain will be when he gave his only son, Jesus, to be crucified for their sins. God's pain that he feels due to betrayal is so much greater than any pain that we can endure. And God ended his lament with the words of compassion and restoration. And these words must have surprised Jeremiah, because God's thinking is not man's thinking. God offered mercy and grace and restoration to everyone who turned to him, not just Israel, but also the Gentiles. As God said, he would rescue and restore his people from their enemies. I will pluck them up. I will pluck up the house of Judah. I will again have compassion on them. God will bring them back to Jerusalem and Israel, bring them back to their heritage, back to their homes. But God did not stop there. Notice the hope and the mercy extended to the nations in verse 16. If they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name as the Lord lives, just as they had done to my people to get my people to swear to Baal, then they shall be built up amidst my people. If the Babylonians, the Persians, the Egyptians, the Medes, whomever, any of the enemies of God turn to God and worship him only, they would be added to the people of Israel. Does that sound familiar? Hope is given to all who believe, Jews and Gentiles. Judgment is given to all who reject God, Jews or Gentiles. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, everyone, for I am God, and there is no other." That includes everyone. All who believe in God, all who believe in Jesus Christ, will have eternal life. So what does this mean for us today? Yes, we can complain, and we can bring everything to Jesus. As the old hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus said to bring everything to him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and listen for me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yes, we can complain, and God understands our hurts and our pain. He knows the pain of the death of a child. He knows, because he gave his own son to die for each of us. He knows the pain of people rejecting him and cursing him. He knows, and he understands. And despite man continually rejecting him, God offers hope and mercy and grace through his son, Jesus Christ. So yes, we can complain, and God understands our hurts and our pain, and there is hope for all who believe. Faith in Jesus is not just for the Jews, but for all who believe in him. Eternal life in Jesus Christ is for the Jews and the Gentiles. As Isaiah 52:7 says in that beautiful statement, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, and who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." And the good news is about Jesus Christ. Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Jeremiah complained, and God responded. And he responded, reminding Jeremiah of his ministry and that God was in control. Despite the doom and gloom that Jeremiah felt, God had a plan and a hope for a future. For Jeremiah, for Israel, for everyone who believes in God, for each of us today. And I pray that each of you would also know that same plan, that same hope, to turn to Jesus Christ and be saved.